Psalm chapter 46. I do want to thank each of you who have been continuing with our prayer chain, and I'd like us to continue that. It's not so much about just praying for your pastor, but it's about praying for our church and where God's taking us to, and I'd like us to push and keep that up. So I feel like God's doing something through all of this, and we're just trusting the Lord, and I know God is in control, but we've got to touch Him for what we need to happen in this city for revival. Amen. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. To the chief musician, the sons of Korah, a song upon Elamath. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And then after all of this, okay, pretty much the worst conditions you could ever imagine. After all of this, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to talk to us tonight about being still. Being still. Turn to somebody and say, you need to be still. Amen, amen. Let's pray that God would help us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. Lord, we praise you for what you're doing in this house. Have your way in our hearts. Lord, take us where you want us to go, I pray. Take this church where you want us to go, Lord. Let your will be done in all of us. And we give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We love and appreciate all of you. Good to see you here on a Wednesday night. There is a lost art in our world today. In an age of noise and motion and constant connectivity, there is something that the majority of people are missing. It is the lost art of being still. Is there anything as rare in our world today as stillness? Every moment, every waking moment is filled with constant information demanding our attention. News, notifications, dings, buzzes, the chatter of social media, the hum of background noise, the frantic pace of our daily lives, trying to squeeze more than what we're able to do within a day. The simple act of being still is becoming increasingly rare. In fact, a lot of people, they're actually frightened at the thought of having to be still. Just the idea of sitting and not doing anything, not talking to anybody, not texting or scrolling, that makes many people anxious. I remember some time ago we went on a family vacation with some extended family and went to a certain place, and I love times of vacation where you can just kind of just relax and take it easy, This one particular day we went with some of our family, and we found this place. We found some chairs on this beautiful beach where you could just look out at the water and hear the waves crashing in, and oh, it was beautiful. And I love those kind of moments because I just try to just clear my mind and, you know, listen to the waves and just, oh, it's beautiful moments like that. But we had one extended family member that this person, it was crazy because we would sit there and, oh, I gotta go do this, and oh, I gotta go do that, and oh, I gotta make this phone call, and I gotta go get food, and I gotta, you know, all of this, and they could not sit still. And it was kind of like that whole vacation. This person just was a nervous wreck because they wanted to go, and do, and being still was just not possible. Sometimes we are found in still moments, and if there's not anything happening, we try to make something happen. We pull on our phone and try to see what's happening with everybody else around the world on social media. We watch YouTube or catch a podcast, or we search for any distraction to fill empty moments. Anything but allowing ourselves to just be still and quiet. And that's how the world is today. But for us as children of God, our challenge is to reject the crazy busyness of our society and to somehow find some moments of stillness in our very busy world. To create moments where we are just still. In spite of all the forces that are pulling us in every direction, we must have those moments where we turn down the volume of everyday life and we let our spirit be still. We have to find those times where we silence ourselves, when we still ourselves so that we can hear the whisper of heaven over the blaring noise of the world around us. I'm speaking to a church today that God is not wanting us to just stay average and ordinary and where we've been forever, but God is saying, I'm trying to take you up to the mountaintop, and I'm trying to show you some things that not everybody is ever going to experience because they don't know how to be still in my presence. But if you can quiet yourself and if you can open your spirit unto what God wants to do, I'm going to take you some places you never imagined. I'm going to show you some things in the spirit that you never thought possible. But you've got to make room in my life, in your life. You've got to make room for the voice of God. And yeah, we want to hear the voice of God, but we want it to be on our timetable. We want it to fit into our perfect schedule. Well, God, I've got a little time between 4 o'clock and 4:15. And so if you could just speak to me then, that would be great, Lord. That's what I need you to do. Have you ever wanted to talk to someone that maybe they were busy and they were maybe walking along to get somewhere in a hurry, and so you find yourself walking along with them and trying to talk as you walk, and they're trying to get somewhere fast, but as you're trying to talk to them, you know they're busy. There's no room for conversation in that moment. Well, imagine what God feels like trying to talk with us. God, we want to hear your voice, but we've got all this other stuff that we're doing. And God says, okay then. If that's more important, I will let you go ahead with your busy schedule. And we miss what he wants to say. And really, it's more than just a word that he wants to speak in a moment to our life. But it's a relationship. It's a relationship. It's something we have to make room for. It's something we have to be committed to. And it will not happen if we don't learn to be still. In Luke chapter 10, we read about Mary and Martha, sisters of Lazarus. Luke chapter 10 verse 38, it says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha and Mary, they were dear friends of Jesus along with their brother Lazarus, and it's understandable that Martha, she wanted everything to be perfect when Jesus came to their house. And it wasn't that Martha did something wrong. She was serving. This was wonderful. This is a gift that God gives people. But her problem was she became so distracted with it. She was distracted from the Lord. With all of our serving, we can't forget to sit at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, Martha, you're worried and you're upset about all these details, but there's one thing that's necessary. There's only one thing that's worth being concerned about right now, and Mary has discovered it. David talked about that one thing. He said in Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's the one thing that we got to make sure we don't miss. It's the one thing that's absolutely vital to us, to seek after the Lord, to dwell in his presence, to talk with him. Somehow we've got to silence the noise that's all around us, and we've got to listen for that one voice that's more important than any other voice in this world. God, I've got to hear what you would say. I've got to hear what you would speak. Come on, we've been listening too much to what everybody else is saying. I need to hear the voice of God. I need to have God speak to my life. I've got to have him show up on the scene and say, thus saith the Lord, but I've got to quiet myself. I don't want this church to miss what God is doing in this hour. And I know that at this time, God is doing something in me as your pastor. He's working on me. isn't that fun? He's working on me. God's revealing things and showing me things and challenging me. But don't you miss what God wants to do in this church at this hour. Our level of relationship with him is not enough to support the level of revival that he has in store for us. I believe that. It's got us to where we are, but God's saying, come up higher. Come up higher. There's more. You've not even glimpsed just a small part of what I have for you. But if you'll make room for me in your life, if you'll push back from some things that are distractions, if you'll push back from some things that have got your attention all tied up into some of these things, Martha, if you'll push back from some things and just sit at my feet and just be still in the middle of whatever it is you're going through, and instead of trying to run around and fix everything, sometimes you just need to be still and say, okay, God, I can't fix this, and so I've got to trust in you, and I've got to stand on your word, and I've got to stand on your promises. Yeah, pastor's going through a little trial right now, and we, you know, we say a little prayer in passing, but I want to tell you, don't miss the point of the trial. Don't miss the treasure that's in the test. Come on, somebody needs to hear that. Don't miss the treasure that's in the test. If I've got to go through the test, then let me reap the treasure, Lord. If I've got to go through the trial, then help me learn my lesson, Lord. God, oh God, if I'm going to have to experience this, then I pray that you would do something in me, that when I come out on the other side,
there is a revelation of who you are, and there's a relationship with you that's going to carry me on. Come on, somebody, tonight. God is taking us somewhere, but we've got to make room for stillness in the midst of all this motion and chaos in the world, or we'll miss His voice. Oh, come on here, your dear pastor. I'm preaching to some people who are going through some things. You've been through some stuff, but in the middle of it, the enemy would love nothing more than to get you stopped praying and get you stopped trusting God and to stop reading the Word of God and to miss out on the voice of God that's speaking through this season. Somebody needs to say, God, I've got to hear you.
Praise the Lord. Stillness is not just about silence. It's not just about being quiet and listening beyond the noise. But being still is more than that. It's really about surrender. Being still is about surrender. It's choosing to trust that God has a plan, even when the way forward is not clear. But in the midst of everything we don't understand, we say, okay, God, I trust your plan, and I won't move ahead of you. I won't try to force my own way. I won't try to manufacture some answers for my situation with my own wisdom and strength. Come on, somebody. We know what it's like. Okay, God, you didn't open that door. Okay, I'm gonna go bust some door. I'm gonna make a way. Help us, Lord. God, I'm gonna wait for you. Is it our life, or do we belong to God? Have we died out to where we're not our own, but now we've been bought with a price? Or are we still trying to hold the reins and stay in control of things? Being still is an opportunity for us to let go of control and to trust God's plan. Hallelujah. God doesn't always share with us every detail of His plan. Why not? I don't know. I know. Sometimes He just wants us to trust Him. Trust me. Trust me. Sometimes we have to just say, okay, God, I just trust you. God doesn't always explain to us the reason for His timing. Brother Madison, God doesn't always explain you and say, Madison, okay, I'm going to do this at this time, and then I'm going to do that at that time, and just trust me because you don't see it yet, but I've got something good coming from. He doesn't always give us that update. Sometimes we have to put our timing aside, and we have to choose to trust His timing. But has He ever been late? There was sometimes I was looking at my calendar, and sometimes I was looking at my watch, and I was like, God, I think you're running late on this one. I think you missed something somewhere in this, because God, if I was in control, I surely would have come through by now. I surely would have made a way right now. But oh, you just give it time and you just trust the Lord. And later on down the road, you get to looking back at some things. And oh God, I'm so glad that you didn't come through when I said it was time. But I'm so glad you made a way when it was your time. Hallelujah. Has He ever been late? No, His timing is perfect. Can we trust the one who knows everything from the beginning to the end and how it's all going to play out in our life and in those around us? Can we surrender to Him and trust Him to keep doing the great job He's been doing since the beginning of time?
Come on, somebody. God's got this. God's got this. Being still is the opportunity for us to surrender and to let God unfold His wonderful plan for our life. Hallelujah. I am so thankful for God's blessings in my life. And after the Holy Ghost, baptism in His name, forgiveness of sins, my greatest blessing is right over here. Daniel, you're part of that, but she came first. Amen. I want to tell you what. When we got married, I was in love with her, and she had some wonderful qualities. But I didn't know all God had in store. But God blessed me. I want to talk to everybody, every young person that you're not married yet. I look back now at some that I thought was the one. And you know, you can go, you can see them on Facebook or wherever, and I'm like, Lord, I am so thankful. And they probably look at me and they're like, God, I'm thankful, you know. Wait on the Lord. Don't get in a hurry. Don't try to make it happen if it's not the will of God. Because I want to tell you what, there's some things that are worse than being alone. Being married to the wrong person. Brother Drew, I'm telling you, God's got somebody perfect for you. I don't know who it is. He's going to show you, okay? Colt, you got time. You don't need to be stressing about it. Daniel, okay, I could just go down the line. I'm picking on the guys, but the girls too. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Now, while you're trusting, why don't you be praying? God, I want to find the right person. I don't want to get mixed up in a wrong situation, Lord. Come on, some of you, have you fasted? Have you fasted more than a meal or more than a day and said, God, I want your will because I need to marry the right person who's going to be a blessing to me and I'm going to be a blessing to them. And you're going to use us for the will of God and for ministry and to change our world. Come on. God has a plan and God can put the plan together, but we got to trust Him. Hallelujah. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Be still and know that I am God. He wants us to know Him. Do we know Him? Do we really know Him? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 14, He said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. A few verses later, He says, His sheep hear His voice. I ran across a painting that I'm going to get in, and I'm going to put it in my prayer closet in. It might not be your thing, and it really doesn't fit my style of decor, but it touched my heart so. And in the painting, a figure in a robe with sandals is walking away, and you just know it to be Jesus, okay? And then there at His feet is this small, little, kind of weak-looking lamb. Standing and just so sweetly looking up at the Lord as if it's listening to hear what He would say. Waiting to know what's the next step. Oblivious to anything else going around, but totally focused on Jesus. And I thought, I want to be that little lamb. So small. Kind of weak looking. But so just
innocently trusting the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Be still and know that I am God. I tell you, he's the good shepherd, and we're the sheep of his pasture. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. It's not just that they know about him. It's not that they just, well, try to fit some time into their busy schedule for him. Come on, their relationship with the shepherd is absolutely everything. And if it's been a day or two since we've spent time in his presence, and we're not having withdrawals from it because we've not been in his presence in a day or two, then we may just not know him like we should. And if we haven't heard his voice in a while, and there's no desire to find him in prayer, that ought to concern us. And if we don't have a regular time and place where we meet him in prayer, that is a problem. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You've got to know him.
What a beautiful picture is painted in the song in the garden of how our relationship with the Lord should be. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever no. That last verse says, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. Somebody needs to hear that voice. He's calling. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to speak some things into your life and into your spirit. He wants to show you some marvelous things. But somebody's got to be still. You got to be still and know. And in that stillness, something wonderfully sacred begins to happen. We start to hear the voice of the Lord. And because we've made room for him in our lives, and because we've stilled ourselves from all of the hustle and bustle around us, and because we've sought after the Lord, we've made our time with him a priority in our life. His voice begins to speak to us. He begins to reveal things to us in his word. and in our spirit, and he begins to point the way forward.
Be still and know. Even our prayer time can be invaded by noise. Sometimes we treat prayer as, you know, it's just a task on our to-do list, something we got to complete along with everything else in our busy day, and instead of the gift of relationship that prayer is. True prayer is more than just us filling a space of time with words unto God. True prayer takes us listening too. It takes a stillness of heart that's so hard to find when we're used to constant stimulation. And we want to get God's attention. Well, how do we get God's attention? What do we do? How can we get the Lord of heaven to turn his attention toward us? When he has our attention, we have his attention. The verbal being used that. When he has our attention, when he has our undivided attention, when we are totally focused on him and we're still, then we have his attention. When you've got the attention of the Lord, that's not the time to stop praying. That's the time to start praying and pressing through, because he's saying, what do you need? I want to work in your life. Be still and know that I am God. From this stillness and from this relationship with him comes an assurance that he's the one in control. He's God. He's on the throne. He's in charge. Come on, he's bigger than our every worry. He's greater than any storm. He's stronger than any giant. He knows exactly where we're at and what we're going through, and he's got a plan that's working for our good. Be still and know that I am God. He's saying to us here tonight, he's saying, I want you to quiet your soul. I want you to look to me. I want you to let it sink deep down in your heart. I am God, and I am in control. Oh, I tell you, there's moments where the world just seems to slow down, and we pause to take in what we're experiencing. Stand at the edge of an ocean. Hear the waves crashing along that beach. And look out at the horizon. As far as you can see, there's water. And there's that, in that moment, there's a realization that wow, this is something that's so vast and so mighty and great. We're blessed in this area many times to have beautiful sunsets. And when one sunset is particularly scenic, often we'll take a moment to reflect on it. The hues of color filling the sky and unique patterns that you'll never see again. An exquisite painting by the hand of God just for us. And for that moment, it's just that moment. And then, before it goes away, the world just seems to slow down for a moment. That's how moments in his presence should be. Oh, that we would lose ourselves in his presence to where we lose track of time. Instead of, well, I got 5 minutes to go. Well, I got 3 minutes to go. I've lost track of time, and everything else fades away, and maybe there's not much that really is right in our world right now, because we're dealing with things and going through stuff, but while we're there in his presence, everything is right, and time stands still, because we're in relationship with the one who created the heavens and the earth, and we're walking and talking with him. When we slow down like that, it creates room for God to move and work in us, knowing God is in control, that he holds the whole world in his hands. I want to tell you, that knowledge brings peace like nothing else can. It's hard to stay afraid when we know we're in the hand of God Almighty.
Oh, come on. I'm speaking to somebody in the voice or in the face of fear and doubt and unbelief. I want to tell you, fear flees when we have the assurance that Jesus knows exactly where we're at. When we know that he loves us, that he takes care of everything we need, but we've got to be still to know him like that. I've come to preach to somebody here tonight that maybe you've just been rushing along through life too fast. And I say too fast because you've been too busy to pray. You've been too occupied to make room for God. And oh, you may come to church and you go to the altar and you try to make a little space here and there for the Lord, but you know it's not what God really deserves and what God really desires. It's time we fall in love with Jesus all over again. Maybe it's early in the morning. Maybe it's late at night. But somehow we've got to find a place and time in the midst of everything else going on to be still in his presence. When God spoke to Elijah, he was going to give him direction about where he was to go and what he was to do. It was in a still, small voice. God told him in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering in of a cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? It was a still, small voice. We'll miss it if we're too busy. We won't hear it if it's too loud around us. If we're not still, we won't know what he wants to say. But in the quiet moments, in the stillness, God's voice becomes clear to us. And we've got to listen with more than just our ears. Our spirit needs to listen. Oh, you just tell God, just like Samuel did as a child, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I want you to speak to me. I want you to direct me. We're not trying to rush on ahead of the Lord, but we're waiting on him. I shared how Psalm chapter 27, verse 14 has been such a vital scripture in my life the last several weeks. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We don't like to wait. We want it right now. We want God to move fast enough to fit into our schedule. We rush things and then we get ourselves into a lot of trouble, but God's timing is perfect. Wait on the Lord. And then he comes back and he's like, hey, I said, wait on the Lord. Somebody wait, somebody wait, somebody wait. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. What a promise. What a promise from the Lord. When we wait on him, it's not rushing ahead. It's not forcing doors open ourselves. It's not making a way on our own. But we're waiting on the Lord. We're being still and waiting on him. Because of differences in language, sometimes Bible translations don't fully catch everything behind certain words. That word wait there, in Hebrew, it's kava. And yes, it means to wait, to look for, to hope, to expect. But there's also something that's a little missed in our language. There's something about that word wait. It means to bind together, perhaps by twisting. There's a sense of maybe strands of rope
that are bound together so that they're strong, so that they will endure and remain. There's another sense of almost of wrapping yourself up in something so you are not moved. In our waiting, in our being still, we bind ourselves to Him, to His will, to His purpose. We surrender and we let Him have full control of our life, and then we just hang on and we wait. We wait. We wait. Somebody here tonight, you've been rushing around trying to figure it out, trying to work it out, somebody needs to bind yourself to Him. You need to bind yourself to His word. You need to bind yourself to Him in prayer and say, I'm not moving, Lord. I'm just going to wait on You. I'm going to be still. I'm going to be still. I know there's chaos all around me. I know that there's trouble. I know there's circumstances. Amen. That verse that the scriptures we read, the earth be removed, the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the waters are roaring and be troubled, the mountains are shaking, but be still and know that I am God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me here tonight? God says, be still. He's inviting us to pause a moment, to step away from the busyness of our world, to step away from all the anxiety and all the chaos, to let go of having to figure it out on our own, to pause, to surrender, to trust Him, and to make room for His voice in our life. Be still. It's a lost art. But if we're going to go where He's trying to take us, we're going to have to learn it. Be still. Be still. Just be still.